The Sports Debacle is a frank and open discussion between adults about sports and other pop culture subjects. Discretion is advised.
Welcome to the Sports Debacle with your host, a man who once lost $20 betting on a youth indoor soccer game, Justin McIsaac.
All right. Welcome back to the Sports Debacle. It's been a month, Renee.
Yeah, that's not good.
Yeah, oh for May. I'm going to take full responsibility for that. That's what we call my bad. Renee likes it when I say my bad.
That is an abuse of the English language.
So my bad. That's completely my bad. And welcome back. I am your host, Justin McIsaac. I like things that are funky. I'm also
the fresh maker.
That's Dan will like that. So, why were we gone for a month? Well, I'm lazy, and it's not that I'm lazy, but we had a lot of stuff going on. Like, I've been promoted at work, kind of. It wasn't so much that I was promoted, as that a whole lot of people got fired, and the crap rose to the top. In this case, me being the crap. So I'm now your overnight host on 100.3 WHEB online at WHEB.com. You can hear me midnight to 5:30 every weekday. And Saturday nights, primetime Justin, you can hear me 7 to 10. So if you want to hear a nasally guy play records and make bad jokes, that's your place to do it. And oh my goodness, David Ortiz just hit a home run. Oh no, he didn't hit a home run.
Oh.
We thought he did. We're watching the game in real time. It looked like he hit one out. Yeah, but you know what? The world would have ended because he's real bad this year, Renee. What do you think?
I still think that you're being overjudgmental. I understand he is clearly struggling. I get that. But I still think he can turn it around.
He's not struggling. He's struggling. Okay? he's hitting 187 on an undercover cop this year, Renee. You know how many points higher than me he's hitting? 187 points higher.
I just don't think that the talent he has or had disappears.
Well, the talent he had might not have disappeared, but I'm afraid his drug supply may have. I worry about that because he's a shell now. Although that was a rocket. In the last few games, he's been smashing the ball.
So maybe it's naive of me. I don't think that he was using.
I don't want to think he was, but you know, I mean, facts are facts. And conversely, Jason Veritek, who now steps up to the plate, I think is back on the gas because he has 10 home runs the first 2 months.
Well, okay, but I would like to make this point.
Okay.
David Ortiz has like a brood of children, and I think guys.
What?
he has like a clan. He's very reproductive,
okay.
And I'm thinking that if you're abusing steroids, generally, don't they have a hard time?
How old are his children?
His youngest, I think, is four.
Oh, four. So that would have meant he was born in 2004. So, okay, maybe you have a point there. Are we sure they're his? Is his wife just like a super ovulating mom like I think you are? Because the only two times you've let me take your clothes off, we've ended up with children.
Oh, his children look like him.
Oh, they do?
Yeah.
They look like Shrek?
Well, I mean, his wife is this, like, blonde, white chick, fair skin, and his son, D'Angelo, has got the curly, dark hair
and the
mocha skin.
He has a son named D'Angelo?
Yes, he does.
Was this part of his endorsement deal with D'Angelo?
Honestly, I have no idea. Perhaps they approached him and said, we know you named your child D'Angelo, and we thought that maybe because your love of that name, you would be willing to endorse us.
I think this deserves an investigation. I'm not the person to do it, but somebody should. What is Sean McAdam doing these days? Let's get him on that. So in the long, long break in between podcasts, the last one ended with me going on a rant about Danny the Champion of the World. I took a field trip with regular co-host Fat Dan to Yankee Stadium, and Renee wanted to ask me some questions about it. So this will be kind of an odd thing. I, being the host of the podcast, will now be interviewed by my wife, who generally doesn't like to talk to me because all I do is jibber-jabber. Is that a fair statement, Renee?
Well, I'm a little more concise, and Generally, if I don't have anything of consequence to say, I don't say anything.
Well, see, here's the thing. That's why you wouldn't make it in radio, because all I say are things of no consequence on the radio.
And that is why I'm not.
Okay, that's why you're the scientist and I'm the talk on the radio guy. So, Renee, these will be the most questions you've ever asked me in our 7 years of being together. Fire away.
Okay. So, the first question I have, being at Yankee Stadium, did it have that new stadium smell?
It smelled... That's a good question. I never went to the old stadium. I can only imagine that it smelled like booze and urine and Guido, New York guy. The stadium didn't have a foul smell to it, but that might have been because it was raining all day. We got to New York City very early. It rained on and off all day. In fact, we had a two-hour rain delay. So I guess that would be a new stadium smell. And it certainly didn't smell like rich people, because all the rich people's seats were empty.
Right. Because it was raining.
No. Because they overpriced the tickets.
Oh, okay. I see.
It could have been 80 degrees and sunny. There would have been no rich people there. There were barely any non-rich people there. And they don't let you move down to the rich people seats.
Yeah, well, security's tight.
They keep you up in steerage.
Well, they don't want the classes mixing.
Well, here's the thing. Hold on. I have to sneeze. Hold on. So here's the thing. Like, if you have good seats at Fenway Park, and I presume anywhere else, or if you have lousy seats, I mean, you can walk down behind the batting cage and watch batting practice and see how short Mike Lupica is and whatnot. They won't let you do that at Yankee Stadium. You go where you go to your room. You stay there. And I think that stinks.
Yeah, I think that probably would take away from the experience. All the games that we've gone to, we've always made an effort to try to get there early so we can watch some batting practice.
Right.
And move around the stadium, take a look at different views, and see what the park is like.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be bummed if I went and couldn't do that.
Well, let's say you have the misfortune of being a kid in the Bronx and being raised as a Yankee fan, and your father, in between beating up your mother and doing hits for the mob, decides to take you one day to a Yankee game. And, he's wearing a wife beater. It's got stains on it, blah, blah, blah. But you're still excited because you want to see juiced up guys like A-Rod play ball. I think that would be terrible if you're like, you could probably only afford bleacher tickets because, the mob is in trouble these days. And everybody that lives in New York is in the mob, your father included.
Yeah.
And, or at least mobbed up. And you want to go, see your heroes. No. You're up 15 stories in the 400 section with drunk guys. That's counterproductive to producing a new crop of fans, I would say.
Yeah, I feel like that's takes away from baseball. That's a real bummer. I would definitely be disappointed. I've always felt that there was, in baseball, you could have maybe some interactions with the players and there was a connection, and that really made the whole experience more special.
You know what we need to do is call Billy Crystal to have him tell that goddamn story for the 100th time about the first time he went to the stadium and the grass was so green and Mickey hit one out, even though he had a hangover, blah, blah, blah. That's kind of what we sound like right now, except less pretentious.
Yeah.
But what was your next question, my dear?
Oh, okay. So the seats, did they squeak? Were they comfortable? Were they hard molded plastic, or were they squishy?
They weren't squishy. They weren't like the recliner seats they have down below. We could see the rich people's seats. And I must have sat there miserable for an hour and a half. So the seats must have been okay, because I don't remember hating them. Because we sat there during the rain delay for so long. So they were, for the cheap seats, they were very comfortable. They weren't anything I would want to watch, a movie in.
Mm-hmm.
But for the price of the ticket, they were good.
Yeah, that's good.
I have no complaints about that.
So this is a rather important question. What was their beer selection like?
The beer selection, I have to give the Yankees props. You could find just about any beer you wanted to find there. I mean, they were all $10. But I had a Yingling for the first time. Actually, I take that back. I had one at the ESPN Zone earlier that day for the first time. And then they had it at... They have some of the concessions. They have food and this and that. And you can get two or three different beers at the food ones. They have individual ones that say beer. And there's 15 beers that you can get. I mean, it's in a bottle. Most of them aren't on tap. But whatever. You can get a Yingling at a game, or a Guinness, or what... Pretty much whatever you wanted. There was a selection of whatever you like. If you like ales, there was something. If you like crappy beer, there was something. If you like, I don't know.
And you get those plastic bottles.
No. They pour it in a cup.
Oh, they pour it in a cup.
If you get like a Miller Lite or something, the guy's walking around, and actually up in where we were in the 400s, the vendors come up there.
Yeah.
The beer vendors and something else vendors. But and I imagine when the weather's nicer, they come up more. But you get that was $9 for, and you get a plastic bottle, and then the jerk-offs behind us were throwing the bottles at the guy sitting in front of us and us. But that's a different story. Mm. But yeah, you have many, many options for beer as long as you are wealthy.
Well, you know, that's important when you're going to a baseball game.
Yes. Well, I don't think you can go to a game without at least getting one. I mean, I've only gone to one game and gotten tanked, and that was with Chris Venom, who I hope is listening. And Chris Venom fell down the stairs, by the way, at the bleachers. I don't know if I ever told you that. That was one.
I think you left that part out.
That was one of the funnier things. He's going down the stairs with a big Chris Venom voice. Hey, how you doing? And he trips, and he managed to not spill the beers, but he fell on his ass and kind of slid down the steps. It was great. They loved him. So you're in that section with all the fun people to play the gambling game.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was great.
Okay, that's good. Yeah, that what you just referred to, I should bring up. I have this opinion that watching ball games is sometimes better watching them in the cheap seats, mm-hmm. only because the people that are there really want to be there. Well, they're not there to be seen. They're there to watch the game.
Exactly. You can see that during Red Sox games during the playoffs. The real fans get priced out. You see all these people that are there just to say they went to a game. And a good example of just wanting to be there is, do you remember the game we went to? Who's your boy? Adam Stern made the catch at the end of the game. It was Mac Clement, who was the starting pitcher, for God's sake. And we were sitting in, like, not even real expensive seats, but the $50 seats, the ones with the chairs that were built in 1920?
Yeah, we were under the roof on the third base side, and, they were more expensive seats, definitely.
Right.
And it kind of sucked.
The jerk-off sitting in front of me was playing his Game Boy. And I wanted to stab him, and I told Zach, and Zach was like, I can't believe that.
Yeah.
That's the worst. You go, you spend all that money. Okay, you're not even being seen in those seats. No one cares.
Right.
You're not even watching the damn game.
Yeah, why are you there?
Yeah, you're there because you're a jerk off. That's why. That guy sucked. I hope I see him again. I'll never see him again, but if I do, I'd box his ears.
Yeah, I don't get it. Well, so tell me about the New York fans. What was that experience? You know, you came back alive. You weren't arrested.
Walking around the concourses, like people we would bump into, we're friendly. I think the rivalry has gotten less intense since 04. They don't have the, like, hey, you suck, we always beat you stuff to hang over our heads. And we kind of knew going in there that we were going into the lion's den. So I wasn't going to be my usual mouthy self. I was
that's amazing. You never hold back.
Well, when it's 50,000 on four.
Yeah, but still.
I'm no mathematician, Renee, but I know bad odds and good odds. So, I mean, when we were watching the game, I still called Teixeira off the bleepless. I said, hey, Teixeira, you're to shitty, and things like that.
Yeah.
And I told John Lester, I said, John Lester was pitching, and I said, sweep the leg, Johnny, and they actually laughed at that. But the people we ran into at the concourse were mostly pretty friendly. They were, they were there to have a good time. The guys sitting behind us were drunk a-holes, or at least one of them was. I was throwing bottles, and actually he got into a big argument with his girlfriend, which was pretty funny. And she was yelling things like, you can't even comprehend what's going on because you're hammered. Actually, she didn't say hammered. She said whatever the New York accent of hammered is.
Oh, yeah.
So that was pretty funny. So those guys were dicks. But I'd say overall, it wasn't bad. It was better than I thought it would be, and we got back in one piece, if tired.
Well, I guess that covers some of my questions for Yankee Stadium. I have some other questions.
Oh,
though.
What do you have written down?
Okay,
interviewer.
Yes, I wanted you to comment on the Bruins, losing their series.
Okay. Well. The Bruins, they hadn't made it this far since, I don't know, the late 90s, the early 90s.
It's been a while.
They got on the first round every year, and every year Dan would say, it's funny because every year Dan, right around, he'll start off the year being, whatever, this team, blah, blah, blah. And then by December, he's fully invested. He's on board. I can't wait to go see the parade and see the cup at Faneuil Hall. And I'm like, why is Ray Bourque bringing it by again? But But I would say they lost in overtime of Game 7 on a complete fluke goal. Like, the puck was just floating there in the air, and the guy, like, batted it in. And, if, you know, 9 times out of 10, that doesn't happen. But it did happen in that sports. I can't say I'm disappointed because I'm not a hardcore Bruins fan. I am admittedly a bandwagon fan. I would like to be more of a Bruins fan, but the owner kind of ruined it. And I also don't like the fact that half the guys that can't pronounce their last name, too many consonants in a row, too many guys from the Czech Republic.
What? Wait, would you like it better, though, if on the bottom of the screen they gave you a pronunciation key?
No,
would that make it?
Maybe not a pronunciation key, but if in video games, if they can, like when you pass the puck to a guy in a video game,
yeah,
like it says his name underneath, his name, his number and his name.
Yeah.
And I don't see why the technology is so hard to do that in an actual game. You don't need, like, the streak crap, like when there's a shot like they had on Fox or anything like that. But when the guy has the puck, put his name underneath. Okay? There's a million kids coming out of broadcast school that would love that job. Your job is to follow the guy and you use the telestrator or whatever the hell they have. And you go, bing, that's his name. And that's one kid in the truck's job. I think we can make that happen. I mean, if they can run 47 ads for the latest crappy Fox series underneath the screen every time there's a football game, and I left to listen to Joe Buck telling me that the new, tell me a crappy Fox show.
I don't know. The American Idol.
Stay tuned for a new episode of American Idol as one gay kid tries to win a contract from another gay kid. It's all coming up on, if we can hear that 40 times, then you can see, you should be able to see what player has the puck in hockey. I don't see why that's a big deal.
Okay. Would it be easy, would you prefer if, given all the names that we're not really sure how to pronounce, if they decided to give everybody a nickname?
Yes. And nicknames aren't as prevalent in sports as they should be. Let's say Recce. I mean, that's not even a hard name to pronounce for the Bruins. You just call them the Wrecking Ball or, I don't know, something. Uh-huh. Give them a nickname that sticks out or, like, you know, I don't know, the Panther. I don't know, whatever. Give me something I can remember. There's too many Europeans coming over, and they don't call enough, like, diving penalties either because it's kind of turning into soccer. You're not allowed to kill somebody like you used to be. And I don't know, I guess I'm starting to sound old-fashioned, aren't I? Too many Europeans.
You know what? That's what happens when you get old. Start talking about the old days.
No, but there's a lot of sissy Europeans, and all they do is dive, and nobody wants to fight. So
I'm sorry that those Europeans are so good, and you know we have to keep importing them.
By good, you mean gay.
Whatever.
Disappointed, but not really heartbroken. They had a good run. They had a better run than anybody thought, I think. Realistically. Dan would be like, they should have won the cup, but whatever.
Yeah, I didn't really follow it as closely as, you know, as you. But I did get the sense that, in general, people were satisfied. You know, they felt like they had put in a good run. Didn't necessarily expect them to go all the way.
Right.
So that brings me to the Celtics.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about the way their season ended?
Well, they lost right off the bat. They lost Leon Poe and Kevin Garnett for the playoffs. So they were playing at a disadvantage. And they got through now I can't even remember who they played in the first round because it was 2 months ago. It seems like the NBA playoffs started.
Yeah, it was forever.
So they got through the first round. Who was that? It wasn't the 76ers. It wasn't the Pistons. It was the Bulls. They got through the Bulls in an epic series, and it was a 7-game series where they basically played like 9 games because so many went to overtime, and they were really physical, tough games. And then they played the Magic, and they had no business playing with the Magic, and they took the Magic to 7 games, and they just you could tell they just ran out of gas in the 7th game. They got blown out. Paul Pierce looked like he was carrying a gorilla on his shoulders in the 7th game. He'd take a shot, he'd be like, damn, I got to run back up the court. I'm tired. Because they played all the way through the playoffs last year in a bunch of 7-game series. And so it was tough. It was, if they had Garnett, if they could have gotten past the Magic, I think the Magic showed that Cleveland was kind of a paper tiger because they just took out Cleveland last night. So, but I think the Lakers might have stomped him. But who knows? I mean, I think they were one. Anytime you have Scalabrine and Big Baby playing major minutes, it's not a good thing. I mean, they're okay players, but they're not guys you want playing 3/4 of the game, especially Scalabrine. Jesus Christ.
He's okay. Just not, you know, somebody you want to have to rely on as much as they did have to. And again, I think that, you know, my sense was that most people felt they put in a good fight and almost didn't even expect them to do as well as they did without Kevin Garnett. And from what I watched of the two series, I thought they put in a good fight, and I don't think you can be disappointed. I mean, maybe, yeah, sure, you're going to be disappointed they didn't move on. But, I don't feel like they underachieved.
No. I think they got 120% out of what they had.
Yeah.
So Celtics, this one's for you. I just wanted to use the sound effect. We've gone 20 minutes without a sound effect, and I was jonesing.
Oh, yeah.
So do you have other questions written down, Renee? You seem like you have a lot.
Let me see. So moving forward, though, into the basketball playoffs.
Mm-hmm. We now have your favorite guy in the world, Kobe Bryant.
Yeah, so who's going to kill him?
Well, here's the thing. He got through playing in Denver without raping anybody, which was fantastic, I thought. It was a real step up for him. No.
He's making improvements.
The thing with Kobe is, okay, you can't deny he's an extremely talented basketball player. I don't know if he's one of the top 10 ever, but he's either number one or number two that we have right now. And I think what he needs to do is just accept the fact that he has the mentality that he's a cold-blooded killer, and he doesn't care. I think personally he doesn't care what people think about him. He doesn't care about his teammates, except that he wants them to help him win. He's kind of like a nastier version, a less likable version of early Michael Jordan.
Okay.
Michael Jordan, there's stories about how he used to make guys cry in practice because he was so hyper-competitive and blah, blah, blah. And Kobe's just less likable than Mike because Michael could turn it on for the cameras when he had to.
Uh-huh.
I don't think Kobe tries to, but it looks so manufactured. It just, everything looks like he's reading off cue cards and he's like, okay, now I'm supposed to smile and blah, 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 and this and that. So I think if he would accept the role of like an old WWF villain, if he would just start doing interviews, he's like, I don't care what people think. I'm going to go get mine. Kobe, if he's doing third person all the time,
yeah.
Kobe's got to do what Kobe's got to do. And Kobe's going to stuff it down your goddamn throat, blah, blah. I think there would be a certain section of people that would love him for that.
Yeah.
I would probably be one of them. Because he'd be an anti-hero. He'd be like the Steve Austin of the NBA.
Uh-huh.
I think he should, because he just looks phony when he's trying to be all happy, smiling Kobe. You can tell he hates all those people he's playing with. He's going to play with like Sasha, whatever his last name is. You can tell he wants to stab these guys. So there's no, he should just embrace the dark side and just be evil Kobe. And people would love it. And if they didn't love it, they'd at least react to it.
Yeah, that might seem more real.
Yeah. That would be great. I mean, then they could do promos with it. Like, Kobe could come out to, like, the Darth Vader music, and they could, you know, the evil Kobe Bryant leads his troops into, you know, crap like that and do some flashy things on the screen. It'd be great.
Uh-huh. Well, so right now I'm just rooting for anybody against him.
Right. Well, here's the thing with Kobe. Like, if early on in games, if his teammates don't do well, he goes into Uber Kobe mode, where he's got to shoot the ball 100 times. And that's actually bad for his team because the other guys start standing around like the other four guys in Teen Wolf.
Uh-huh.
Have you seen Teen Wolf, right, Renee?
Yes, I have.
You know when he goes into the wolf mode? Like you have the fat guy eating the apple on the court. That's like Luke Walton and all those guys. So I think the Magic have a chance. I want to root for them, especially because their coach looks like a porn star. He looks just like Ron Jeremy. So that's fun. Have you seen Stan Van Gundy? You haven't really seen him up close.
Yes, I have.
Okay.
Yeah.
He gets really animated, too, so it'll be fun to watch them. So I'm rooting for the Magic, mostly because, as a Celtics fan, you have to hate the Lakers.
Yeah.
It's just, it's you know, it's in your blood.
Yeah.
It's in the blood. So I'll say Magic in seven. That's my prediction, based on nothing, because I'm not a basketball expert, but.
Okay. Well, we'll go with that.
Okay.
Let's see. It's been a while since we've had any T-ball games.
I know. We got rained out this past week, and the other games were on a Monday and Tuesday, so it's been two full weeks.
Yeah, that's a long stretch.
Cameron has a game tomorrow, and I think the weather's supposed to be okay. But coaching T-ball was a good time. I had to be the coach for our listeners out there in internet land. Our son Cameron is five. He plays T-ball, and Coach Greg had to go on a business trip to South Kakalaki. So he looked at the coaches, one of the other parents, and I said, hey, you guys are at all the games. You want to coach? And we're like, okay. So I put all my kinder camp or whatever it's called, scamper camp expertise into good use and coached T-ball, and it was exhausting.
Oh, but you enjoyed it.
It was fun, but trying to get 10 five-year-olds to play baseball for an hour, just try doing that. That would be like get 40 puppies and try to get them to march in a parade. If you want to simulate, if you can't five 10-year-olds to play a T-ball game against five other 10-year-olds, go adopt 40 small puppies and try to get them to march in unison.
You kind of got that flipped.
And it's the same thing. What do you mean I have it flipped?
Well, you said five 10-year-olds.
Oh, whatever. 10 5-year-olds. You know what I meant. Yeah, that's for me. So, one thing I wanted to bring up, did you see that Joey Votto of the Cincinnati Reds is on the disabled list, Renee?
Tell me about this.
He's on the disabled list for stress-related issues, and I did some more investigation.
And this is not like stress-related fractures.
Not a stress fracture. You're right.
This is mental distress.
Yes, because
distress.
After having an inner ear infection.
Uh-huh.
An inner ear infection.
Okay.
What? Okay, his ear hurt.
Okay.
He can take a few games off. Renee's getting ready to remove her headphones because she knows I'm going to start yelling in a minute. She sees that look in my eye. Just so if you're at work, turn the computer down a little bit. There's going to be a lot of beeps coming up, I think. But Joey Votto, and I'm taking this personal, mostly because Joey Votto was on one of my fantasy teams, and he was tearing it up. But, okay, your ear hurts. Take a few games off. Rub some. What would you rub in your ear?
Nothing.
Whatever the hell you have to do for an inner ear thing. Take some naproxen. Okay, I've come to work hungover before. That's probably worse than an inner ear infection. I know your balance is probably off. I don't know. Lay down for a couple of days. Suck it up. Stress-related issues. What does Joey Votto have to be stressed? Do you know what the average baseball player makes? Even if he's making the minimum. Do you know what he's probably making, Renee?
At least 10 times more than what I'm making.
He's making at least $300,000. And I could look this up, but I'm in the middle of a rant. So maybe you can maybe you can Google Joey Votto's salary right now for me. That would be fantastic. Joey Votto, whatever he's making, does not have to worry about mortgage payments. He doesn't have to worry about what the price of gas is. The only thing Joey Votto might have to worry about is if he has some deadbeat relatives that are bugging him for scratch, in which case he can say, hey, you know, I'm not Albert Pujols. I'm not making $16 million this year. I'm only making, what is he making, Renee?
Working on it.
Oh, geez, come on. You got to Google faster, honey. But here's my point. Okay, here's the thing. Joey Votto has very little to be stressed about, especially if you think about a guy like Hank Aaron. Hank Aaron played in Atlanta, which is the racist, cracker, redneck capital of the universe. Okay, he played there. He's a black guy, in case you're real young and don't know who Hank Aaron is. He was going to break Babe Ruth's record. He was getting letters every day from psychopath, Republican probably, guys, white dudes saying, if you hit another goddamn home run, Hank, I'm going to kill you and your family. So don't you dare set foot on the baseball field or you're going to die. And it wasn't just one or two of these. He was getting a lot of them. How much does Joey Votto make? Did you find?
I'm working
on
it.
Oh, my God. So Hank Aaron will get all these letters. Do you think Hank Aaron went on the DL for stress-related issues? Renee, do you think he went on the DL?
Never.
No, he didn't. You know what he did? He sucked it up. Even though he's in Redneck City playing in front of 40,000 rednecks, half of which probably want to see him die rather than break Babe Ruth's record, who never had to face a slider or pitching or face a black pitcher or play against black players. Hank Aaron just went out there and sucked it up. And Joey Votto is a little stressed out and has to miss 2 weeks. That makes me sick. Okay, I'm the most liberal guy in the world. I think gays should get married to each other. I think basically that everybody, I'm a borderline communist is basically what it is, okay? But the pussification of our society just kind of makes me sick. Like, I don't think everybody should get a trophy for everything. Like, when I was little and played in a bowling league, if you came in last, you know what you got a trophy of? A skunk saying, hey, your team sucked. Get better. And you know what we did? We would get better because we didn't want to get the goddamn skunk trophy the next year. We didn't get it like, oh, you came in 9th out of 9. Here's a trophy. Let's celebrate your mediocrity. Yay! That's when Cameron sucks, I'm going to tell him, hey, you know what? That kind of sucked. Here's how you can do it better.
You know what, though? You don't have to do that.
Only, what do you mean?
Well, because you know that I'm going to be the one that's going to lay it straight.
Yeah, but you'll lay it too straight.
Yeah, so you can be, so you can be the one that's like, oh, you know, it's okay. You can make him feel better.
No, well, there was a good example is they had, if you can believe, T-ball players had a home run derby. They had one, which is they just hit it off the tee, and whoever gets the furthest gets to go to the finals, which basically means their parents had to stick around another 3 hours hoping it doesn't rain. That's all that meant. But Cameron came in second on his team. He hit the ball the second furthest, and he was pretty upset because he likes to win, which is good, I think. I think you should be upset when you lose. And he's like, how come I didn't win? And he was all pissed off, and I'm like, hey, listen, it doesn't feel good to lose, does it? He's like, no. I'm like, did you try your best? Yes. I'm like, all right, well, now you know what it feels like to lose, and if you don't like the feeling, you just try harder next time.
Right. But, you know, one of the reasons why we signed him up for sports is so he can learn to deal or...
The problem is they don't teach him to learn how to lose. You just taught that everybody's terrific. Everybody isn't terrific. There's kids that are going to be terrible. When I was 9, I was the worst goddamn player on my team. I had 0 hits. Mm-hmm. 0.0. And the other kids on the team, they let me hear it.
Yeah.
I mean, they were like, you suck, basically. And, you know, it made me real upset. And the next year, though, I didn't have 0 hits. I played a lot better because being the worst was not fun.
No.
Okay? And then you can either... That's a point where you can make two decisions. You can decide to be a pussy. Whoops, where am I?
Whoever told you that you could work with men?
Or you can suck it up, and I'm using like gender-related terms here, or you can be a man and suck it up and deal with it and be the anti-Joey Votto. Where the hell is my Godfather sound clip?
Oh, while you're looking for that, I can tell you his salary.
Please tell me what Joey Votto makes.
Okay, according to Fox Sports, he makes $437,000. Actually, $437,500.
So Joey Votto's making 430 grand. Let's say he's bringing home 60% of that after taxes. So he's making about 300 grand. If we made 300 grand, what would be our stressors? It would be what color to paint the goddamn deck we built on the house. Joey Votto?
Whoever told you that you could work with men?
You are a pussy. Suck it up, Joey Votto. And I don't have to walk a mile in your shoes. You know why? Because I couldn't afford your shoes because I don't make $400,000 a year. Asshole. I'm sorry.
Do you feel better now?
Sometimes I get a little fired up.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's my rant about Joey Votto this week. And, I don't know, Ray, were there any other sports topics that were piquing your interest this week?
Honestly, I have been preoccupied with other things, so...
I think everybody has. It's been a long month without a podcast. I feel good. I feel...
Refreshed?
Not refreshed. I feel cleansed.
Uh-huh.
I guess I had that not-so-fresh feeling.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? That's going to wrap it up for this edition of the Sports Debacle. I want to thank my guest, Renee McIsaac. Renee, thank you for being here.
Oh, thanks for inviting.
And thank you for not running away when I started screaming about Joey Votto.
I'm used to it by now.
Okay, we're going to try and get Fat Dan back in so we can get a further explanation of the Bruins season. But until then, you can reach the Sports Debacle by emailing sportsdebacle@yahoo.com. Or you can follow us on Twitter. It's twitter.com/sportsdebacle. Thanks for being here, Renee.
All right, thanks.
Thanks for listening to the Sports Debacle with Justin McIsaac. You can contact Justin by emailing sportsdebacle@yahoo.com.